E-Tidings Cosmos, good morning 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tomila Falcher wrote and shot. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath, there are words. Dropped a quality item into a charity shop, and the girl there, who was somewhere in her mid-twenties, and with a lovely brightness and lightness in her smile and voice, spoke to me, saying, "Thank you so much, and how much do you think we should resell it for?" "Follow your heart." "I love you. Stay with us here all day." And with softly touching her arm, I smiled to her eyes and went upon my way. Lovely it was, surely, and most interesting and delightful was that feeling of having an unknown person, an unknown woman, an unknown young woman out of the blue word to me, "I love you." Grateful, most grateful I am to be, of the life of a woman who loves me totally. In heart, senses, and words, though she love me day nightly, my precious sunshine castle, from the beautiful land of 3,000 li. And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, "Twice daily," he said, "and at about the same time throughout the island, do cattle stop their grazing and sit down and leisurely chew the cud. How much more so then shouldn't we also take time out to leisurely reflect on the thoughts we have been gathering? Strings of unpondered upon thoughts do but clog up valleys of the mind." In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, Tao Te Ching, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity of the final scene from Prince Hamlet. "Heaven make thee free of it, I follow thee. I am dead, Horatio, wretched queen, adieu. You that look pale and tremble at this chance, that are but mutes or audiences, audience to this act, had I but time, as this fell sergeant debt is strict in his arrest, oh, I could tell you, but let it be, Horatio, I'm dead, thou livest, report me my cause aright to the unsatisfied. Never believe it, I am more an antique Roman than a Dane, here's yet some liquor left. As thou art a man, give me the cup, let go, by heaven, I'll have it. O good Horatio, what a wounded name, things standing thus unknown, shall live behind me. If thou didst ever hold me in thy heart, absent thee from felicity a while, and in this harsh world draw thy breath in pain, to tell my story. What warlike noise is this? Young Fortinbras, with conquest come from Poland, to the ambassadors of England gives the warlike volley. Oh, I die, Horatio, the potent poison quite overcrows my spirit. I cannot live to hear the news from England, but I do prophesy the election lights of Fortinbras. He has my dying voice, so tell him with the occurrence more or less, which have solicited, the rest is silence." Now crack, sir noble heart, good night, sweet prince, and flights of angels sing thee to thy rest. Why does the drum come hither? Where is this sight? What is ye would see, if aught of war or wonder cease you search? This quarry cries on havoc, O proud, that what feast is towards in thine eternal cell, that thou so many princes at a shot so bloodily hast struck? The sight is dimsel, and our affairs from England come too late. The ears are senseless that should give us hearing, to tell him his commandment is fulfilled, that Rosencrantz and Guildenstern are dead. Where should we have our thanks? Not from his mouth had it the ability of life to thank you. He never gave commandment for their debt. But since to jump upon this bloody question, you from the Pollock Wars and you from England are here arrived to give order that these bodies high in a stage be placed to the view, and let me speak to the yet unknowing world how these things came about. So shall you hear of carnal, bloody, and unnatural acts, of accidental judgments, casual slaughters, of debts put on by cunning and forced cause, and in this upshot proposers mistook, fallen on the inventor's reeds. All this can I truly deliver. Let us haste to hear it, and call the noblest to the audience. For me, with sorrow I embrace my fortune. I have some rights of memory in this kingdom, which now to claim my vantage doth invite me. Oh, that I shall have also cause to speak, and from his mouth whose voice will draw no more. But let this same be presently performed, even while men's minds are wild, lest more mischance on plots and errors happen. Let four captains bear Hamlet, like a soldier, to the stage, for he was likely, and he being put on, to have proved most royally, and for his passage the soldier's music and the rites of war speak loudly for him. Take up the bodies, such a sight as this becomes the field, but here shows much amiss. Go, bid the soldiers shoot. Tao Te Ching, Installment 13. Honor and disgrace alike give rise to fear, because this is the fear that the great calamity might fall upon the corporal self. What is honor, and what is disgrace? Honor means that he who was low before has been promoted. Since he has been promoted, he is afraid of losing his promotion, which is disgrace. Thus he who has been promoted lives in fear that he may be degraded. And he who has been degraded is haunted by the dread that his degradation may last forever. That is why honor and disgrace alike give rise to fear. What is the meaning of fearing the great calamity coming upon the corporal self? How can we sense that the great calamity is due to the fact that we inherit corporal self? If we don't inherit the corporal self, what kind of calamity can afflict us? Therefore, one who has regard for his personal health is more important than he who governs the world and is eligible to be trusted with the world. One who loves himself should be put before he who governs the world and is qualified to be handed over the world. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. No three-star visitor spoke to me, saying, "Immaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn?" A woman of some 80 or more was of a mid-morn found to be sitting by a bay, and she was with lamenting away to herself so, as if she had lost something very precious. Along came an island walker, one who spends his or her life carefreely strolling throughout the isle, and never tiring of it. He, with noticing her, came and asked if he might enter into her presence for some moments. "Certainly you may. Sit here next to me all the rest of the day long and into the night to dawn, if it is your way." The shimmering waters look
good this day? Being so to say, why have you been crying, be it lamenting away? He has lost it. Who has lost it? What is it he lost? My husband. He has lost it, and he doesn't know where he lost it. I see. Then, when did he last have it in his possession? He never had it in his possession. It was not something he could really have. What, pray tell, on this lovely summer's day, did he let from himself slip away? Perhaps it is still with him, without him being even aware of it. I would know if it was with him, and with him it is not. Oh, back in the near be yesterdays, it was always with him, come night or day, and with it we could so oft enjoy to play. Was it something he alone had, or did you both have versions of it in part? Of course he had his, and I still do have mine. Then what caused him to lose his? How should I know, for didn't I wake up of a break of day, and he no longer was seemingly interested in our play? I don't know what to say to so, other than to hope his will return some day, and may that day be ever so soon. And he left her there by the bay, with her thoughts to be crying and lamenting away, or to do something come what may. And with her, he having long now disappeared from out of her view, she realized she had never really told him what was at the heart of the matter. And to tell him, she did rise to her feet and began to run along the way he had went. And with walking on and on along the bay, he came in mid-afternoon upon a man of some 60 or more, sitting and he lamenting away to himself so, as if he had lost something very precious. And the island walker asked if he might enter into his presence for some moments. Certainly you may. Sit here next to me. All the rest of the day long and into the night, to dawn, if it is your way. The shimmering waters look good this day. Being so to say, why have you been crying, be it lamenting away? She has lost it. Who has lost it? What is it she lost? My wife. She has lost it, and she doesn't know where she lost it. I see. Then, when did she last have it in her possession? She never had it in her possession. It was not something she could really have. What, pray tell, on this lovely summer's day, did she let from herself slip away? Perhaps it is still with her, without her being even aware of it. I would know if it was with her, and with her it is not. Oh, back in the near be yesterdays, it was always with her, come night or day, and witted we could so oft enjoy to play. Was it something she alone had, or did you both have versions of it in part? Of course she had hers, and I still have mine, to have mine. Then what caused her to lose hers? How should I know, for didn't I wake up of a break of day, and she no longer was seemingly interested in our play? I don't know what to say to so, other than to hope hers will return some day, and may that day be ever so soon. And he left him there by the bay with his thoughts, to be crying and lamenting away, or to do something, come what may, heading back the same way he had come. And with the island walker having long now disappeared from out of his view, he realized he had never really told him what was at the heart of the matter. And to tell him, he did rise to his feet and began to run along the way the walker had went. Now somewhere in the midst of in between, the walker intentionally took a turn inland and on onward into nowhere did he proceed. Meanwhile, that woman from her direction appeared, the man from his, and before they knew it, they found themselves to be intertwining in the pure pleasure of their familiar spontaneous play, overlooking the golden bay. And then in their glow, did they come to know, age to be but numbers, forms physicality, and that which is always present to have and to hold but never to possess is spontaneity. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when but living in your own realm and time, will you unto yourself bring your life in all its fullness, in all its fullness, to live fully? All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. And spare a thought too for peoples living in faraway places, in all different kinds of situations, often very difficult, and not at all of their own making. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind, bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland, on the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterDramascripts.com. It is truly an honor to have your listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.